GCSE Chemistry Podcast, Extracting Metals in Equilibria. Episode 4, Reversible Reactions, Dynamic Equilibrium, and the Haber Process. Hello, and welcome back to your GCSE Chemistry Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor. And today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-rich topics in the entire specification, reversible reactions, dynamic equilibrium, and the Haber Process. This topic sits right at the heart of industrial chemistry, and examiners absolutely love it. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel, or OCR, you can almost guarantee questions on this in your exam. And the good news is, once you truly understand the logic behind it, the marks become very predictable. So let's get into it. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to define dynamic equilibrium with confidence, predict how changing conditions shifts the equilibrium position, and explain every single condition used in the Haber process, and crucially, why those conditions are chosen. Let's go. Let's start with reversible reactions. Most reactions you've studied go in one direction. Reactants become products, and that's that. But some reactions are different. In a reversible reaction, the products can react together to reform the original reactants. We show this using a special symbol, two half arrows pointing in opposite directions, which you'll see written as a double-headed equilibrium arrow. If you see that symbol in an equation, your brain should immediately flag, this is a reversible reaction. A classic example you need to know is the thermal decomposition of ammonium chloride. When you heat ammonium chloride, it decomposes into ammonia gas and hydrogen chloride gas. But when those gases cool down, they react back together to reform ammonium chloride. The same reaction running in both directions. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. If you carry out a reversible reaction in a closed system, meaning nothing can enter or leave, something remarkable happens. Both the forward reaction and the backward reaction continue happening simultaneously. And eventually, the rate of the forward reaction becomes equal to the rate of the backward reaction. When this happens, we say the system has reached dynamic equilibrium. I want you to really understand the word dynamic here because examiners specifically credit it. Dynamic means both reactions are still happening. It's not that the reactions have stopped. The concentrations of reactants and products stay constant, but that's because they're being made and used up at exactly the same rate. Think of it like a revolving door in a busy building. People are constantly going in and out, but the number of people inside stays roughly the same. The door is never still. It's dynamic. Two critical points that candidates frequently miss. First, dynamic equilibrium only occurs in a closed system. If the system is open and gases can escape, you can never reach equilibrium. Second, at equilibrium, the concentrations are constant, but they are not necessarily equal. There might be more product than reactant, or vice versa. The position of equilibrium describes which side is favored. Now let's talk about what happens when you disturb that equilibrium. The rule is simple. If you change the conditions of a system at equilibrium, the equilibrium will shift to oppose that change. Let's go through each condition in turn. Temperature. If you increase the temperature, you're adding heat energy to the system. The equilibrium shifts in the direction that absorbs heat, that's the endothermic direction. If you decrease the temperature, the equilibrium shifts in the exothermic direction to release heat and counteract the cooling. So higher temperature favors the endothermic reaction, lower temperature favors the exothermic reaction. Pressure. This only applies to reactions involving gases. If you increase the pressure, the equilibrium shifts toward the side with fewer gas molecules because that reduces the pressure. If you decrease the pressure, it shifts toward the side with more gas molecules. To figure out which side has fewer molecules, you count the numbers in the balanced equation. Concentration. If you increase the concentration of a reactant, the equilibrium shifts to the right, towards the products, to use up the extra reactant. If you remove a product, the equilibrium also shifts to the right to replace it. Catalyst. And here's the one that trips up so many students. A catalyst does not shift the position of equilibrium. It does not change the yield. What it does is speed up both the forward and backward reactions equally, so equilibrium is reached more quickly. That's it. If an exam question asks whether adding a catalyst increases the yield of ammonia in the Haber process, the answer is no. The catalyst just helps you get to equilibrium faster. Right, now let's apply all of this to the Haber process, the industrial manufacture of ammonia. The equation is nitrogen plus 3, hydrogen gives 2 ammonia with the reversible reaction symbol, and the forward reaction is exothermic. It releases heat. The conditions used are a temperature of 450 degrees Celsius, a pressure of 200 atmospheres, and an iron catalyst. Let's justify each one. Why 450 degrees Celsius? Well, because the forward reaction is exothermic, a lower temperature would shift equilibrium to the right and give a better yield of ammonia. But a lower temperature also means a much slower rate of reaction. It would take forever to make any ammonia at all. So 450 degrees is a compromise. It's high enough to give a reasonable rate of reaction, but not so high that the yield becomes too poor. Examiners want you to use the word compromise or trade-off here. Why 200 atmospheres? Look at the equation. On the left, you have one molecule of nitrogen plus 3 molecules of hydrogen. That's 4 molecules of gas. On the right, you have 2 molecules of ammonia, just 2 molecules of gas. So increasing pressure shifts equilibrium to the right towards fewer gas molecules, giving more ammonia. Higher pressure always increases yield here, but very high pressures are expensive to maintain and dangerous. So 200 atmospheres is again a compromise, high enough to give a good yield, but economically and safely viable. Why an iron catalyst? As we said, it doesn't change the yield, it just speeds up the rate at which equilibrium is reached, making the process economically viable. Without it, the reaction would be far too slow to be commercially useful. And one final point, unreacted nitrogen and hydrogen are recycled back into the reactor, so nothing is wasted. This makes the process more efficient and cost-effective. Right, let's talk exam strategy. There are some very predictable mistakes that candidates make on this topic, and I want to make sure you avoid every single one. Mistake number one, forgetting the closed system. If a question asks you to define dynamic equilibrium, you must say it occurs in a closed system. Without that, you will lose a mark. The full definition is a state in a closed system where the rate of the forward reaction equals the rate of the backward reaction, and the concentrations of reactants and products remain constant. Mistake number two, saying reactions stop at equilibrium. They don't. Both reactions continue, they just happen at the same rate. If you write the reaction stop, you will not get the mark. Mistake number three, saying a catalyst increases the yield. It does not. A catalyst only affects the rate at which equilibrium is reached, not the position of equilibrium. This is one of the most common errors in the country on this topic. Mistake number four, not justifying the Haber process conditions as a compromise. If a question asks you to explain why 450 degrees is used, you need to say both that lower temperatures give better yield and that higher temperatures give faster rates, and that 450 degrees is a compromise between the two. One-sided answers will not score full marks on a 4 or 6 mark question. Mistake number five, not counting gas molecules correctly when predicting the effect of pressure. Always go back to the balanced equation and count the molecules on each side. Right, let's test yourself. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give the answer. Question one, what symbol do we use to show a reversible reaction? The double equilibrium arrow, 2 half arrows pointing in opposite directions. Question two, what are the 3 conditions used in the Haber process? 450 degrees Celsius, 200 atmospheres, pressure, iron catalyst. Question three, what effect does a catalyst have on the position of equilibrium? None. It has no effect on the position of equilibrium. Question four, if you increase the temperature of an exothermic reaction at equilibrium, which way does the equilibrium shift? To the left, towards the endothermic direction, to absorb the extra heat. Question five, why are unreacted gases recycled in the Haber process? To improve efficiency and reduce waste, so all the reactants are eventually converted to ammonia. Brilliant work, making it to the end of this episode. Let's do a lightning summary of the key points. One, reversible reactions use the double equilibrium arrow symbol. Two, dynamic equilibrium occurs in a closed system when forward and backward rates are equal. Three, changing temperature shifts equilibrium towards the endothermic direction if you increase it, and the exothermic direction if you decrease it. Four, increasing pressure shifts equilibrium towards fewer gas molecules. Five, A catalyst speeds up the rate of reaching equilibrium but does not change the position of equilibrium or the yield. The Haber process uses 450 degrees, 200 atmospheres, and an iron catalyst, all chosen as compromises between yield and rate. If you can recall and explain all six of those points, you are well on your way to full marks on this topic. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck!